This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, praise God. I want to talk to you today about living a carefree life. Amen. Amen. How many people stress out every once in a while? Amen. You ever get stressed out? Well, the devil wants you to be stressed out. And stress is not good. And we don't want to be stressed out. Amen. And so the title of my message is A Carefree Life. The Apostle Paul, if you study his life out, it wasn't an easy life. The Apostle Paul had a very difficult life in ministry. And he encountered beatings and shipwrecks and being snake bitten. He encountered a lot of things, a lot of people coming against him. And so we're going to look at this because I believe that God wants to prepare us for any negative thing that might come down the pike in our lives. Amen. And he wants to prepare us for that. And now this is the Apostle Paul, and he was ministering to the Ephesian church in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 22 and 23. And he's intent on going to Jerusalem. And so from the Ephesus church, and he's talking to the elders here, and he says, I see now that I go bound in the spirit in Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. How many people want to sign up for that ministry? How many people want to sign up for the ministry that you might have chains, glory to God, and tribulations? Sign me up, amen. And so the Holy Spirit will prepare us for turbulent times ahead. You got to believe that if you're following the Holy Spirit. And even Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. In this life, you will have some problems. We're not in Kansas yet. Amen. We're not in heaven yet. There's going to be problems down here. And I like what the Apostle Paul responds to this. He's to the Holy Spirit revealing to him that there's going to be chains, that he's going to... He spent most of his ministry, a lot of his ministry was in prison. He had a prison ministry. And so Paul says in Acts 20, 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace of God. I love that response, and that's a great response. He says, none of these things move me. I'm going to say this to you today. You can't be moved by the circumstances, from the negative things that are happening to you. Don't allow that to move you off of the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. Amen. Because God is in charge and He's enlarged. Do you believe that today? And so you got to be, the devil will come. The devil will try to hinder you through a lot of different ways, but you got to be like the Apostle Paul and say, none of these things move me. Amen. You can't be moved. You got to be strong. The Lord said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. You got to be strong and courageous in these days because the devil's trying to coward people down in the last days. So in Psalms 125, it says here, those who, verse 1 and 2, those who trust in the Lord. How many people trust in the Lord out here? I got some people trusting the Lord. Are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Say, God's with me. And I'm going to say this, his angels are around you, protecting you in all your ways. Do you believe that today? You may have been in some car accidents and you walked away. Glory to God. That's God's angels protecting you. Amen? Has anybody been in a car accident in here? Glory to God. Maybe a few. Amen? And God can divinely protect you because it's crazy out there in that traffic. Amen? So none of these things move me. He said also his attitude, because he didn't worry about the devil working against him. He said, I do not hold my life as dear to myself. He held his life dear to God. So if we're going to live a carefree life, we must be living for the Lord and not for ourselves. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Amen. And so we got to not be so focused on ourselves, but we got to be focused on the Lord and his plans for our life. I like what it says in Galatians 2:20. This is my mom's favorite verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I love that. So you've been crucified with Christ. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Can I get an amen today? Amen. And we live by the faith of the Son of God who loves us and gave his life for us. Amen? So this is how we live. We don't live for ourselves. If we're going to live carefree, we're living for God. We're not living to please ourselves. Amen? And number three, he said his goal was to finish his race with joy. Amen. And I like that. So if you're going to be carefree, your aim must to run your race and finish it with joy. To run your race with joy, you must get rid of any sins that would hinder you from focusing on Jesus and the reward that he has for you. Amen. Amen. Is there any areas in your life that's bringing you down? It's not going to cause the peace of God to be in your life. It's going to cause turmoil to be in your life. That's the reason why he says in Hebrews, talking about running your race, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and that sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So Paul is saying that we are in a race, and we want to run our race with peace and joy. Can I get a witness in the house today? And sin will knock out that peace and knock out that joy in your life. It will cause depression to be in your life. Sin will cause you to be depressed. Amen? And you don't want any sin holding you back, any weight holding you back from the peace and the joy. So how do we do that? We do that by looking unto Jesus, the next verse, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So how was Jesus able to endure the cross? How was he able to endure going to the cross? Because he saw us after the cross. He saw the reward. He was focused on the reward. And if you focus on the reward, then the pain will be less and less. Amen. Glory to God. You got to focus on the reward. Amen. If you go on a diet, you know, you eat the right things, you push away the wrong things, and to stay physically fit and stay on that diet, you got to focus on what you looked like in your 20s. Amen? Amen. You got to focus on the reward. That's how you get there. Amen. So we maintain our peace and the joy by running a race with God, by getting rid of sins. And we focus on the reward and not the negatives of the circumstances that we face in this life. Now, I want to go to Philippians this morning. And I want to dissect Philippians for a little bit. In Philippians 4, Paul is writing from a jail cell to the Philippian church. And the Philippian church was a church that Paul loved. And Paul is writing to them, and now their leader, think about this, their leader is in jail. Now, if I was in jail, how happy would you be about that? Don't raise your hand. Amen. Amen. So he was in jail, and so that could cause people to be distressed because their leader in jail. So he's encouraging them in his letter to the Philippian church to rejoice. He says in Philippians 4 and 5, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. Powerful. So Paul is encouraging the church to rejoice. Amen. And I like that because even James says in the book of James, chapter 1, he says, if you're encountering any trials, any tribulations, he says, count it all joy. Why? Because God's with you. And he's going to help you through whatever circumstance that you're dealing with. Amen. Do you believe that today? Somebody say, God's working it out. You got to believe that God's working it out for your good, no matter what you are dealing with in this life. Amen? And so he says, so he encouraged the church to rejoice. Rejoice in, and he says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. So rejoicing comes from a gentle spirit or a heart of humility. I'm going to say it again. To rejoice comes from a heart of humility and not a heart of pride. Pride wants to complain and remain. A humble person praises and God raises. Can I get a witness in the house today? So if you're going to, notice he says a gentle spirit, a spirit of humility. When you're walking in peace and joy, it should make you easy to get along with other people. When you're of the right spirit, you get along with other people. You're not causing problems or issues in other people's lives. You are a peacemaker. Amen. Do I have any peacemakers out here? Amen. Amen. And so, and that's what we want to be, peacemakers. And so he says, rejoice comes from a heart of humility, and that's a gentle spirit. And the Lord Jesus is at hand. This means Jesus is there in our midst, ready to do the impossible in our lives. When we're rejoicing, when we're walking in humility, when we are believing that Jesus is in the midst of us. Amen. And he's here with us. Amen. With two or more gathered in prayer, there he is in the midst of us. Right. And he's with you even if you don't have anybody right there with you. Because he says he will never leave you or forsake you. And so in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's where we want to go. We want to go with a peace that surpasses all understanding. You don't need to get your peace through drugs, alcohol, through anything like that. You get your peace through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Through medication? No, meditation. Amen. You don't need to medicate your issues. You need to meditate your issues. Amen. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Meditate on the Word of God. Amen? And so you need to meditate more and you'll medicate less. Amen. So he says here, do not be anxious. As the Amplified says it this way. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guards over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, I have the peace of God. Amen. This joy that the Lord gave us, the world can't take it away. Amen. Amen. I think there's a song, this joy that the Lord gave us, and the world can't take it away. And the peace that Jesus gives us, the world. We shouldn't let the world take it away. Amen? Now, the Apostle Paul has encouraged us not to be anxious or worried about anything. Now, I'm going to focus on a Psalm 37, which is a powerful psalm. And I believe this is a psalm that will help us get free of worry this morning. He says in Psalms 37, 1 and 2, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb." King David in Psalms is telling us not to fret or worry about the ungodly people in this world system. Don't worry about the ungodly people, ungodly people that might be in government. Don't worry about that. Pray for them. Amen. You may not like what's going on. Pray for them. Pray for our leaders. Amen. Ungodly people that don't repent of sin will end up in a bad place. Is that right? And see, and so this is the key. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." But when you drop down in verse 36 of that same chapter, he says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Thank God we don't have the wrath of God abiding on us this morning. Thank God that we have the grace of God abiding. How many believers do I have in the house today? Amen. So that's good. You are a believer. That means you have the grace of God abiding in your life. Amen. And so I love that. So if the unbeliever will repent, they can have the grace too. Hallelujah. So it says here in Psalms 37:3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." If you're going to be carefree, you must put your trust in God and focus on his faithfulness and not your faithfulness to him. Amen. That's a good quote right there. In other words, don't be focused on how good you are. Don't say, "God, look how good I am. I've been coming to church. I've been giving my tithes. I've been even nice to my relatives." Amen. Don't be so focused on how good you are and how faithful you are. Be focused on how faithful God is. Amen. This is how you live the carefree life. Because if you're focused on how good you are, you're going to be trying to do good and burn yourself out. But you just focus on God's goodness and you can walk carefree in this life. Can you get a witness in the house today? So we're carefree when we focus on the faithfulness of God. I love this scripture, and I quote this quite often. "Trust the Lord with some of your heart." That's the reverse translation this morning. "Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." There's another translation that says that he shall make the crooked paths straight. So whatever crooked path you might be on, you could be on a crooked path today. If you trust in God, he will straighten out your path and straighten out your life. Amen. Don't trust in yourself. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Trust in God. Say, "I trust God." Carefree living is focused on how faithful God is to us, again, and not focused on the faithfulness of God. In 2 Timothy, it says it this way. If we are faithless, 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Wow. That's powerful. Has anybody ever, well, we're not as, let's put it this way. We're not as faithful as we need to be. I'm going to say that again. We're not as faithful as we could all go another higher level in faithfulness. Am I talking to anybody today? So I don't think anybody is as faithful as they can be, but we can go to the next level. Amen. Say, "I'm going to the next level." in my faithfulness to God. Amen. So Deuteronomy 7:9 says, therefore now the Lord your God, talking about faithfulness, he is a God that is faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commandments. If you think about 1,000 generations, we're never going to hit it. Amen. That means it's so many generations that Jesus will be back before 1,000 generations come. Amen. Talking about that God is faithful to the very end. That's powerful. That's powerful. He's faithful to the very end. I like what it says in 2 Corinthians talking about God's faithfulness. For all the promises of God are no and maybe. All the I'm just making sure that you're listening to me this morning. Are you listening to me this morning? All the promises of God are in him are yes and in him amen. Thank God for his promises. Thank God that they're yes and amen and not no and maybe. And wait. Amen. To the glory of God through us. Now he who established us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Powerful. So we are sealed with the Spirit of God, and it's a guarantee. Our inheritance is a guarantee. We focus on God's faithfulness and his promises of his word to us. Amen. Say, I believe God. Amen. And it's yes and amen, glory to God. In Psalms 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I love that. If you're going to be carefree, you have to learn to delight yourself in the Lord, and this will cause your desires to come to pass. You know, anybody delight in ice cream out here? Anybody like ice cream? Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. We all delight in our favorite foods, glory to God. But do you delight in God? Are you delighting in him, in his spirit, in his word? Do you delight in coming to church, or is it drudgery? Or is it just a sacrifice? Oh, I got to go. No, you get to go. Amen. Glory to God. Why? Because faith is being instilled on the inside of each one of you. So you can face the storms and the trials that this life brings into our lives. Amen. Amen. So carefree living is delighting ourselves in the Lord, and this will cause his desire, our desires to come to pass. I like what it says in Psalms 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So I love that. So he will bring it to pass. So if we're going to live a carefree life, we must commit our ways to the Lord. Amen. Amen. So in Proverbs 16:3, it says this way, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. The reason why we get stressed out in here is because of our thinking. And our thinking, we're thinking on the wrong things. We're focusing on the wrong things. And he's saying here in Proverbs, if you commit your works to the Lord, he says your thoughts will be established. Amen. In other words, focus on the mission. John 3:16. You're called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are on mission. Everywhere we go, we're supposed to be preaching the word of God. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching to myself today. Amen. We need to be witnessing to people around us. You are on mission. And when you're on mission, you got the peace and the joy of God in your life, people are going to notice. Amen. Even if you're going through some things, they're going to notice and they're going to be drawn by you. You be a radiant Christian for the unbelievers. In Psalms 30, to say I'm radiant in God. Amen. You're radiant in God. Amen. In Psalms 37:7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. If you're going to live carefree lives, you must learn to rest in the Lord. This is tough. This is not easy to learn to rest, cast your cares on the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. It says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, thank you. Take my yoke upon me, upon you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Amen. So if you're going to walk in this peace that transcends all comprehension, you're going to have to hook up with Jesus. Amen. You're going to have to yoke up with him. Amen. His yoke is easy and his burdens are light. Amen. I love that. And in Exodus 33:14, it says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Amen. You know, the people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, there were a lot of people that didn't make it into the promised land. And the reason why they couldn't make it in the promised land, because they didn't have faith with the word of God. And the Bible says that they could not enter into the rest of the Lord. They kept struggling in the problems of life. They kept focused on the problems. And you need to start focusing on the promises. And they focus on they didn't like, you know, they got sick of the manna, amen. They had air conditioned during the day because they had a cloud that fell on them in their day, air conditioned, and then they had a fire at night. They had warmth at night. God was taking care of them. God was taking care of them, but they couldn't see it. And they couldn't enter the rest. It says in Hebrews 4:9-10. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. For he who has entered the rest has also ceased from his works as God did from his works. So we need to stop working so hard and being saved and start being saved. Amen. Amen. In other words, instead of working so hard, just be saved. Amen. In other words, enjoy your relationship with God. Don't put a lot of rules and regulations on your relationship with God. No, just enjoy it, and God will help you come out of those negative circumstances that you might find yourself in. We need to stop wrestling in God and start resting in God. Amen. I'm going to say it again. We need to stop wrestling and start wrestling. That's what my dad used to call the WWE, wrestling. Amen. Anybody ever? I've been to one of those places. It's a lot of fun. Amen. I took my dad to a WWE wrestling. It's not wrestling. It's wrestling, and that's where they're throwing each other around and all that. It's a lot of they have it all choreographed. Amen. Glory to God. They got it all choreographed. I know some of you think it's real. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. Amen. WWE is not real. Amen. Glory to God. But God is so good. So we need to stop wrestling and start resting in God. So if we're going to experience the carefree life in God, we must trust, delight, commit, and rest in the Lord. Now let's go back to Philippians, because there are still some more keys I want to give you this morning. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So the number one key to live this stress-free life is you need to pray. Amen. He says prayer. Prayer is not just asking God for something all the time. Prayer is communicating to your Heavenly Father. It's talking to God. Do you ever just talk to God? Let Him know how you feel. Let Him know what you're struggling with. You ever just talk to God like you would talk to your natural father? He can handle your problems. He can handle the truth of where you might be at in this life. Amen? I love that. So you got to get, in other words, get real with God. Let God know your struggles. Get real with God. Too many of us, we don't want to get real with God. And when you get real with God in prayer, God will get real with you in prayer. Amen. Do you believe that today? The psalmist says in 139:13, O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. God knows your circumstances. He knows your situations, and He knows how He can help you. Amen. Glory to God. And He will help you if you ask for His help. Amen. I'm going to say again, the reason why some of us are stuck in problems is because we don't ask God for help. Amen. And we need to start asking God for help in our problems. And in, God, give me a plan. Give me a way so I can come out of anything that's displeasing you. Amen. Ask God. Amen. Let God know your struggles. Amen. And then he said that if we're going to walk in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, we need to learn to supplicate, which is another part of prayer. Supplication is earnestly asking God for your need and the needs of others. Amen. That's what supplication is. You're earnestly coming to God in an earnest way of asking God for your needs. Amen. It's not just talking to God. But now it's petitioning God for something in your life. Amen. And God delights in answering your prayers. Do you believe that today? It says here in Psalms, this is David. He says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Psalms 130:1-2. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice and my supplications. In verse 5, it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word, I do hope. Glory to God. So I love that. So waiting on the Lord, waiting on Him to reveal some truth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. In other words, you know what to do. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit revealed to you what you need to do in those circumstances and situations in life. And then he says, not only supplicate if we're going to walk in the peace of God, but we got to develop an attitude of gratitude. We need to learn to be thanksgiving to God. He says, giving thanks to God. Amen. We don't thank God for what He's going to do. We thank God for what He has already done. I'm going somewhere this morning. Amen. We don't thank God for what He's going to do in our lives. We thank God for what He has already done in our lives. Amen. He's already paid the price for you to be set free. Amen. He's already paid the price for your healing. Amen. He's already paid the price for your prosperity. Amen. He already paid the price for you to have a peaceful mind. Amen. He paid the price. Amen. Start thanking God that He's already paid it and start walking in it. Amen. Glory to God. Thank Him. Don't, you know, thank Him and then thank Him for what you're believing Him for. Thank Him. That it says that this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, He will give us the petitions that we desire of Him. Amen. Then I love this because then in Philippians it says, finally. Now, it's not a final finally because there's more to it. But finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, and these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is telling us to meditate on the good and not the bad. Amen. Meditating is thinking or pondering on something. And you can think on the wrong things, and that will bring fear and anxiety in your life. I'm going to say this. Don't think about your past. mistakes because you can't unscramble scrambled eggs. You can't go back. Amen. So you can't unscramble. Don't focus on your past mistakes. Focus on the present and the future. God's more interested in your future than your past. Can I get a witness in the house today? He's a future God. He's a present and future God. And he's not interested in you focusing on your past. He wants you focusing on the present and where you're going in God. Somebody say, I'm going somewhere. And you're going to a good place. Amen? So what is true is that meditate on what is true. I just want to focus on one of these keys here. What is true? Well, what is true is maybe circumstances are coming against you. Maybe situations, maybe health issues might be coming against you. But what is true is that God loves you. Amen. Regardless of what you're going through, God loves you. In Romans 8, 31, 32, it says, what things shall we say in these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. That's powerful. Yeah. That's powerful. That's worth reading again. Amen. Amen. That's powerful. So God is for us, and God didn't spare his son. He allowed his son to go to the cross so that he can give us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Amen. Do you believe that today? I love that. And it says here in Romans 8, 35, drop down, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors, verse 37 through 39, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Glory to God. So these verses are telling us that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And when you're walking in the perfect love of God, that love will cause you to cast out all fear, anxiety, worry. That perfect love will cause you to cast out the negative feelings that the devil wants to put in each one of our lives. Somebody say carefree.
Carefree.
Hallelujah. And he says, finally, brethren, what things are true, what things are noble. We focus on things that are noble, what things are just, what things are pure, what things are lovely. Don't focus on the ugly. Focus on the lovely. What things of a good report? In other words, you might get a bad doctor's report, but whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Glory to God. And his report says, I am healed. And his report says, I am filled. You believe that today? And if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, what is noble, just, pure, lovely? These are attributes of Jesus. He is noble. He's just. He's pure. He's lovely. He's virtuous. He's praiseworthy. So yeah, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. So if you focus on Jesus and you keep focusing on Jesus, he'll keep you in perfect peace no matter what is going on in your lives. Do you believe that today? So we learned today, we discovered today to walk carefree. We need to trust God, delight ourselves in God, commit our ways to God, rest in the Lord, pray, supplicate, give thanksgiving, and meditate on the good and not the bad. And when we do these things, we'll walk in the peace that surpasses all understanding. Did you receive it this morning? I know you did. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, for those that are here in the audience, those that might be watching and listening. Perhaps you've never met the Prince of Peace. Well, Jesus wants to be your Prince of Peace today, and you can receive Him as your Prince of Peace just by praying a simple prayer. And just say this prayer out loud and mean your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected to Exceed Life Church online. But if you're here locally, come out and be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, go to a church that preaches the word of truth, and so you can be built up and grow in your faith in Christ. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.